Hello, and welcome to Liberty Presbyterian's podcast. I'm Pastor Becky, and along with Pastor John and Pastor Kyle, I pray that the message and the music bless you. Well, have you ever been unexpectedly thrust into the limelight? Or maybe you watched someone you knew become suddenly, and frankly, quite unexpectedly, rich and famous. Well, our youngest daughter's best friend growing up lived down the street, and her parents were local lawyers in Montclair. And then about 3 years ago, they went national covering a big Me Too case. And now there's a movie coming out with famous actors portraying them. I mean, these are people who helped me turn their sofas in and out to find my daughter's retainer. You just don't expect the family down the street to be featured in a nationwide film. Well, our focus this morning is accidental saints, with the emphasis on the accidental. Now, the billion-dollar profits of every Captain America Wonder Woman movie tells us that we're starved for heroes. But a hero is doing something under their own strength and steam, usually, and they're the focus of the story. A saint has an entirely different focus. Listen to this thought from Sam Wells, former dean of the chapel at Duke University. There's a significant difference between the kind of story that's told about heroes and the kinds of stories that are told about saints. The heroes always make a decisive intervention at a moment when things are looking like they could go badly wrong. The hero steps up, makes everything turn out right. In other words, the hero is always the center of the story. By contrast, the saint is not necessarily a crucial character. The saint may be almost invisible, easily missed, quickly forgotten. The hero's story is always about the hero. The saint is at the periphery of a story that is always about God. Well, so this morning I'd like to share with you a small story from the Old Testament about a fairly invisible woman who becomes the focus of God's story. Listen to the word of God from 2 Kings chapter 4. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatened to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Well, nothing at all, except a small flask of oil." "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing the jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was filled to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," they said to her. And the olive oil stopped flowing then. When she told the man of God what had happened, Elisha said to her, "Now sell the oil and pay off all your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left over." Well, the story begins with a woman who's not named, but we do know that she'd been married to a prophet. She's now widowed and desperately poor. The wolves are at the door, and they're threatening to take her two sons as slaves until she can pay off her debts. This nameless woman has no husband and lives in a world where men are the only providers. She has no money. And if things don't change soon, She'll have no sons either. Well, in desperation, she turns to the prophet Elisha. You may remember Elisha. He takes up literally the mantle of the late great Elijah. This is one of Elisha's first recorded miracles, and I think it says something that it unfolds in this poor woman's home. Well, from a human perspective, this is one crazy story. Elisha asks the widow what she has in her house. I mean, really? She's got nothing, nada. It's like when I visited our son's first apartment. Unless you counted the empty pizza cartons and beer cans, the cupboards were bare. The widow replies that she has nothing except one small flask of oil. So Elisha asks her to go and collect empty jars from the neighbors, as many as she can. How is that going to help? She doesn't need more jars, she needs more money. But off the widow goes, feeling more than a bit foolish, to borrow the neighbor's Tupperware. Then in what I have to say is the strangest piece of advice, Elisha tells the widow to take that one small flask of oil and pour it out into all the empty jars that she's collected. Now this sounds like a fast train to Crazy Town. But of course, it turns out that God was planning a miracle. Every jar was filled to the brim, heaped up, running over. Well, I love this story, and here's why. The widow has almost nothing, but God uses that small flask of oil for his purposes. In fact, throughout the Bible, God uses small, seemingly insignificant things to bring glory, to build his kingdom, to save people. And our God has a history of using what is in people's hands, the rod of Moses, the flour of the Zarephath widow, 5 loaves and 2 fish, a slingshot, and a stone. In the same way, in my own experience, I've seen the Lord use the smallest things to make a big difference. I met with our Stephen ministers last Sunday, and at the end of the meeting with these wonderful people who've had over a year of training, and they serve this church family so faithfully, and I gave each of them a little challenge. I handed out a small coin with words of blessing on it to each of them. And I said, pray about who God wants you to give these words of blessing to. And already, folks have been surprised by grace. Small things, big blessings in God's hands. Our prayer should always be, Lord, open my eyes to see what I have that you can use. What has God given to you that can be used for his glory? This story also raises a question for us. Are you a vessel waiting to be filled by the Lord? Is there even any space left in our overly busy, overstuffed lives for the Lord to fill? Or are we too full to be filled? Our crazy schedules, the barrage of email and every other form of social media, the kids' and grandkids' games, our constant errands, doctor's appointments, frankly, just the time we spend stuck on 270 keep us all spinning and struggling to get through the day. As a friend of mine wrote on his blog, we're going as fast as we can, living life at a dizzying speed. We're not rejecting God. We just don't have time for him. Did I mention that the friend who wrote this is a pastor? Yeah. Well, John and I got married during a nationwide gas crisis. And in the infinite wisdom of the powers that be, the first response to the crisis was to allow everyone to get a small amount of gasoline daily. So every morning, folks got up at 5 a.m. to join the ever-growing lines to get their 5 gallons of gas. Anybody wait in those lines? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is crazy making. Well, on our wedding day, an entire bus of youth ministry kids, of our youth ministry kids, got stranded on the New Jersey Turnpike. The bus had ran out of gasoline, and the leaders couldn't even bribe their way to us. When bribes don't work in New Jersey, you have a serious problem on your hands. Well, weeks and weeks prior to the wedding, my stepdad got up at 5 a.m. and would take this little can with him to the gas station, and he illegally stockpiled 250-gallon drums of gasoline, leaded and unleaded back then, so that the family and the wedding party could be assured that they would have a full tank to get home after the reception. So our wedding album is full of photos like this. Yeah, the guy filling the tank there is now Dean of William & Mary Law School. We humans, we tend to take just a small amount of God's grace and power into our lives, even when we desperately need a full tank. Frankly, there just isn't room for any more. We're already filled up with things to do and places to be. So the idea of creating empty space for the Lord, that's a pretty big challenge. It's a big challenge for me. Maybe it's because we feel we can get by with just a little of God's presence, just enough to get us through this day or this hairy situation. But God longs to fill us to overflowing, to take every empty bit of our lives and fill them with mercy and grace and his saving power and his abounding love. Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are the jars of clay that God longs to fill to overflowing." Friends, we're not called to be superheroes who perform amazing feats under our own strength and power. We're called to open our lives to the one who can fill us so powerfully with his extravagant grace and mercy that they will be spread as far as the eye can see. After all, what is a saint but an empty vessel waiting for the Lord to fill? And maybe, just maybe, if you create some open space in your life, you can be an accidental saint too. Let's pray. Oh Lord, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Lord, use each of us for the glory of your kingdom. For we ask this in Jesus' strong name. Amen.